T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Joining us right now, the former head coach of the New York Jets. He is the head coach right now of Arizona State, and that is the great Herm Edwards. Coach, thank you very much for joining me today. How are you?
I'm well. Hopefully things are well in New York. I've kind of watched it a little bit, and kind of disheartening when you see a protest that's trying to raise awareness to our social distance, our social justice system is getting a little bit hijacked with some that just feel like they're taking advantage of the situation and looting and violence occurs. That's never good.
That's why I thought the tweet you sent recently was so right on, which was, when America huddles up, we're a powerful team. And it's so true. I mean, because I think all of us want the same thing. It's just, we got to work as a team. And right now it feels like a lot of us are, but not all of us are. So I thought that tweet was kind of perfect to what we really need to do right now as a country, Coach.
Well, we do, and we need to have a conversation. And it's uncomfortable, to be quite honest. You know, I've lived long enough now to go through phases of this. I can remember in 1968, April 4th, when Dr. King was assassinated, sitting at the table with my father, who was a master sergeant that fought in the Korean War, World War II, and he grew up in the South, and having a conversation about what I was witnessing through social protests and those things, and wind it forward now 52 years. I have a 14 and a 13-year-old, two little girls, and I'm sitting at the dinner table explaining what's going on. It's kind of interesting.
Well, let me ask you, where are we? I mean, dude, we're sitting here in 2020. It's better than what it was 52 years ago, but we still got a ways to go. Where are we right now from what you've seen?
Well, what I've witnessed is the young people that are involved in the protests from all different walks of life and all different genders, which is a beautiful thing to watch when it's peaceful. It really is, because they have the ability to make the change now for their children. You know, this thing is not you flip a switch on and everything changes tomorrow. This is a long process, and it starts with the people in power, local power, your mayors, your governors, your police chiefs, you know, the civil leaders in the community, all coming together and keeping this conversation alive. That's how you make change. It starts within. It's within your own framework of your own community. That's how it starts. And I think that's why it's very important that you understand that who is the police commissioner? Who is the governor? Who is the mayor? Who are the civic leaders? Who are those people? Are they doing the right thing to progress this thing and to not let it die?
Have you had conversations with some of your players right now about what's going on? Have you kind of talked to them about everything?
Absolutely. And, right now, because we have been social distancing and no one could be in the building,
right,
it's gone over a massive text. But what's great is that these guys get to come in on the 15th, and I'm going to find a way to speak to all of them. And I think all of them, a lot of them have called me because, you know, they understand, you know, Coach is like, he's seen a lot in his life.
Yeah.
And I think they're searching, you know, they're searching for knowledge. They're trying to figure out why, what is this? What is all this, Coach? Why is this? And, you know, I think when you boil it down, there's a couple things that I look at. And the justice system, you know, when you think about Lady Justice, she has a scale in her hand, and she's blindfolded. And that is to create a justice that's balanced. And I think for people of color, historically, that has not always been the case. It's kind of been leveled against them, and the scales aren't even. And, you know, that's a shame because that's we're America. We're better than this. We think this is a black problem. It's not a black problem. It's an America problem.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
Let's don't say this is a black problem. This is not a black problem. This is an American problem. And once we all understand that and huddle up and find solutions, you know, find answers, I think that's the most important thing.
Do you feel, and we're talking to Coach Herm Edwards, do you feel right now in 2020, when you are driving down the road or walking down the street, do you feel racially profiled? Do you feel that that happens to you in this year, in the last few years?
No, not so much. When I was younger, absolutely. When I was in high school, and you're talking about in the 70s now.
Right.
Okay? I mean, you're talking, I go to Cal Berkeley in 1972. You can imagine what that place looked like.
Sure, sure.
With Vietnam and, you know, in the social unrest and the protesting. I mean, I saw more speakers on that campus than you can imagine, right? And it's just amazing how things, you know, you reflect on those things. And then I sat there, and I'm going, this is 2020. Why are we watching this? This is a bad movie.
Mm.
We don't need to watch this movie anymore. We're better than this. You know, when I grew up, first of all, I didn't have a TV. And then there was no high definition. Now there's high definition.
Right.
You know, there's always been racism. But here's the problem. Now it's on film.
Yeah.
Now you see it. And it's ugly.
No question. You know, watching the images around us, and I mentioned this earlier, most of the protests and the interaction with the police, they're beautiful. It's just this beautiful coming together of both sides kind of hearing each other. The other stuff, the offshoot stuff, and I don't know where it's coming from, that's the image that scares us. And we say, where the hell's that? But I don't think that's the majority at all. It seems like the good stuff's the majority, Coach.
I agree. And you know, and here lies the problem, is that the images of the violence, it takes precedent, and then it hijacks the message.
Right.
No different for the police officers. I mean, for the police officers, they have a heck of a job. I mean, they have a responsibility. That's very difficult. And 99% of those guys are spot on. But when one of them doesn't do it right, it's not like football, okay? You commit a foul in football, it's a 15-yarder. Okay. You deal with the penalty. They do something wrong that has something to do with a gun or choking somebody, somebody dies.
Mm.
It's not a penalty. Somebody dies. And when you got those kind of guys on your team, you got to get them out. You got to find a way to get them off the team to say, you know, you can't do this.
No question. We're talking to Herm Edwards, the coach of Arizona State. Right now, where are you guys in terms of people coming back to the campus? Because I'm sure, like you said, you have a text chain with your guys, but getting to see them face-to-face, talking about the issues all around us, I'm sure that is going to be just a better feeling. Where are you to getting to that point right now?
They're coming on the 15th. And some of the players that live outside the state, like I was just funny to say this, because just 5 minutes ago, I'm talking to the quarterback and the quarterback's mom. They're driving from L.A. And, you know, he's all excited. I'm all excited. And so, one thing, you know, about sports, when you walk into the building with athletes and coaches, there's a lot of energy in there, boy.
Mm.
And it's just energy. And I miss that. I miss the energy of the players and the coaches, just the excitement of going on another journey together. Because every season becomes this journey you go on. You're going to lose some players. You're going to gain some players. There's going to be some ups and downs. But you learn so much about each other. You know, your character flaws, you know, your weaknesses show up and people surround you to protect you because you're part of the team. And it's a wonderful thing. And that's what makes sports so great. We don't really care where you grew up or how you grew up. It's like, hey, we're all in this together, man.
Right. I was going to say is, you know, being in a sports locker room, because a lot of us play it as youth and then we realize we're just not good enough. You know, I love playing sports. There was no way I was getting to college or even, you know, my high school teams playing. But how much good does sports do in that locker room, bringing people together who otherwise may not have known each other, may not have interacted with each other?
You're exactly right. But you know what else brings it together? It's fans.
Mm.
When they come from all different walks of the community. And they're rooting for their team, right? They all come into that stadium. It doesn't matter who you root for, what team that you're talking about. They all come in the stadium. They don't know each other. And they come in there and they cheer for the team. And then all of a sudden they go home. And a lot of them, they close the doors and, and they're not open-minded anymore. It's like, okay. The sports is it's a great elixir. It's a great way to bring a bunch of masses of people together from all different walks of life. And you should see it. You see it in the stadium. It's exciting. You see it for the players.
Yeah. You know, and I've said this to you. I miss you as head coach of the Jets, that's for sure. But you have a job in which you go from a head coach of being a professional football team to teaching kids in a way. I mean, because these are like the future of America. Is that in a way more rewarding that you're dealing with guys who are 18, 19, 20, as opposed to, you know, millionaires who have a job to do, as opposed to kind of developing the future of America in a way?
Well, I think you get them at a younger age where you could influence them a little bit more. And you have them for 4 years, hopefully. Now, some of them leave early because they're talented enough to go to the league. But you can make an impact on them, no doubt about it. But NFL players, I do believe this. You know, 99% of the guys, they get it. They understand the opportunities they have. And you know, it's a vehicle for them to change their life. So that's a life-changing moment when you become a professional athlete
right.
for a lot of these guys. It was for me, there's no doubt. Being able to go to college on a scholarship, that was a life-changing moment for me. My father and mother did not go to college. I was a first college graduate. It was life-changing. So
right. All
these moments are part of the reflection. And then you got to ask yourself, as you accomplish these moments in life, how many times are you giving somebody a hand up and helping somebody else?
Right.
Because that's what it's really about. Because a lot of people have helped you get there. You didn't do this by yourself. And I think you realize that, especially when you get to the professional level, that you actually didn't do this by yourself.
We're talking to Herm Edwards, head coach of Arizona State. What do you think of what the NFL is trying to do to try to encourage more minority hirings? They had various ideas. They've altered the Rooney Rule. Your thoughts on it?
Well, there's a proposal. I think it's in good intentions, but it just looks bad. It's almost one of those deals where it's kind of like, really, you're going to get credit for hiring a minority coach?
Oh, the draft pick one?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No. We don't want to go down that road. It's like anything else. It's, are you willing to go through the process of interviewing guys? Mm. And, you know, we put this on the owners' laps, but it's not so much the owners, it is the GMs. They're actually the ones that get the list.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And so when you look at that, there is two men of color that are GMs in the league. And not saying they have to be men of color to interview guys of color, but I do know this. It helps when you're connected to somebody.
Right.
And our league has changed. It's changed dramatically in this sense. It's more of an offensive league. And so if you're not a quarterback coach or an offensive coordinator, very difficult for you to get an interview because that's who they want to hire, right? You look at
right. The
guys they're hiring. These are offensive young guys, no fault of their own. But I think this, I think GMs and sometimes head coaches forget this. It really doesn't matter what side of the ball you've been on. You're the head coach for everybody.
Yes.
You're actually the head coach for everybody. You're not just the head coach on the one side of the ball. And I think, are you a developer of men? Do you have a program that these guys will commit to? And they got to commit to you as the head coach. They got to trust you. You know, you get the title, but you got to earn the responsibility and the trust of the players at any level.
It does feel like a guy gets a job, you know, and I think this happened a lot to Rex here in New York, where he gets the job and you think of him as the defensive coordinator as a head coach. Is it difficult to kind of shake the label of, oh, this is just, you know, he's the offensive coordinator, sort
right.
of the head coach. Like, is it difficult to kind of shake that when you first get a job?
Well, sure it is. And, you know, and you got to catch yourself. If he's anything else, and I learned this from Tony Dungy working with him, what Tony did, he made sure that he was in the offensive meeting rooms all the time. Because the first thing offensive players go, well, you know, he's going to stay on the defensive side of the ball. No, he's not. He's over there in the offense. So I think you got to show your face. You just can't disappear. And all of a sudden, every time you talk, the first statement you make is about it, your defense. Because then the offensive players are hearing that and they're going, well, he's just a defensive coach.
Right.
No, you're head coach. You coach everybody. You actually get to coach everybody. You coach the coaches. You coach the players. That has always been my outlook. You know, you're the leader, and you have to make sure that they're in tune to your message. And you can be in every room, every meeting room, you take your time, walk in there, and you sit in the offensive line room sometimes, the running back sometimes, the quarterback room. Look, I live with the quarterback. I flat leave in that room. That's what you got to do.
We're talking to Herm Edwards. By the way, none of us knew this. I'm sure you knew it, but Curtis Martin revealed a few weeks ago they had like a torn MCL during that 2004 season, which is incredible. Guy won the rushing title. You guys are in the playoffs, obviously, the Pittsburgh game, and he's playing with a torn MCL, coach. Incredible.
I tell you what, you're talking about a heck of a football player and a leader. Mm. And not many. He didn't have to say a whole lot. He just kind of did. And, you know, when I first took the game, I walked into him and I asked him, I gave him a football, and I said, is this really your pass? And he said, no. I said, get ready, because you're going to carry it a lot. And I gave it to him. I just wanted to figure that out.
As we sit here right now, we're talking to Coach Herm Edwards. Do you think we're going to have a college football season? Like, what's kind of your sense for things as we sit here in early June?
Well, we're going to give our best effort to do it. And I know coaches are excited about it all over the country. I know the Pac-12 coaches, we've been meeting. We're going to have another one tomorrow. And we're all slated to get started about the 15th. Now, some guys are actually going in small groups, not a whole team. We're kind of going in groups. And so, you know, we have a plan to try to make it work. We're going to do everything we can, first of all, to provide safety for the players and the coaches. That's the number one agenda on any of these deals. And then we'll just see where it goes. And, you know, and we said this before, I think the thing that we're trying to figure out, because we do not play a social distancing sport, how do we make this all work?
Mm.
So we're all trying.
Yeah,
we're gonna give it our best effort. We're gonna give it our best effort. The players are excited about it. Coaches are excited about it. I know the fan base as well. But this is not normal times right now. We've got to be able to adjust to it.
No doubt. Would it be strange if there are games and there are no fans? Would that be how would that feel?
It'd be interesting, right? It'd be like even the preseason, you get some fans. It would be like a scrimmage, you know?
Yeah.
So you'd have to bring your own energy. I've already said this. So I said, well, if you got no fans and we're trying to social distance on the sideline, maybe when the defense goes off, they just sit in the front row.
Yes. They could be the crowd.
Room down the stadium, right?
Yeah, and they could be the crowd. They're going to be the ones cheering or booing,
cheering,
if you
watch
will.
Watch the offense play. You know, we sit in the stands, you know, watch offense play, play defense, whatever.
You know, on a serious note, because you mentioned at the top you've got two daughters. I think there's a lot of people listening. I've got a young son. He's 3 and a half, so, you know, he's still learning, you know, kind of basic things right now. What do you say to your daughters? How do you explain kind of what's going on right now in this country?
Well, that, you know, there's a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things, and that doesn't see color. Hmm. Just do the right thing, and you know what's right. And you make a great point, because I believe this. Good soup, like character, is made at home. And those are the life lessons you teach your children when you're at home. And it's a shame that an event like this and COVID has made us all of a sudden come together as a family, because we can't go outdoors and sit around and have discussions. You know, when COVID hit, before obviously the violence occurred, we were all in a reflection mode.
Right.
Now it's not a reflection mode. Now it's more of a, what's going on here? What is this, right? And young people are looking at this and going, And the great thing about it, they're out there. And you see all different colors, which is a beautiful thing, because they get it.
Right.
They're understanding this is not right. This is not right. And the young people, they can turn the wheel for the country. It's not us. That wheel's past us now. It's their turn to push the wheel.
Well said. Coach, we miss you in New York. Stay safe. I really appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you, my friend. God bless you now.
Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.